You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, welcome everybody to Redemption Online. My name is Dave. I'm the associate pastor here at the church, and I am so glad that you chose to be with us today. Well, today is the first day of Advent, and you know, Advent is a season of expectation and preparation for the celebration of the coming of our Savior. And you know, in Advent, during this season, we, in a few weeks, get to celebrate the Son of God coming into the world. And I just want to take a moment to encourage you, with all that is preoccupying our minds this season, to make it an intentional time of preparation, to open your heart to Christ so that he can come to you in a new and a fresh way. Well, we get to kick off our new series today with Advent, and you know, this is an opportunity for us to revisit the Christmas narratives in the Gospels. We read about the characters that are so famously described in the nativity scenes: Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds and baby Jesus in the manger. But it's important this season to understand that God didn't just come to the world. He came to individuals like Joseph and Mary, people just like us with similar joys and hopes and dreams and struggles and difficulties. And so as we each week look at a different character, we're going to get to experience their stories as we encounter God afresh, his joy, his love, his peace this Advent season. Well, back in college, I had a friend named Eric Ludwig, and it seemed like everything that he fixed with duct tape. He even had a pair of Timberland work boots that had a crack in it, and he put duct tape on it and wore them proudly around campus. And you know, I've always been fascinated by things that have a purpose, one purpose, they end up being used for something a lot of times very different application. And you know, if you take duct tape, for example, originally duct tape was spelled D-U-C-K. It was used by the military to keep water out of ammunition cases. Eventually, the military found a lot of other uses for it. It was helpful to repair their guns, tents, vehicles, and even their boots. And eventually, duct tape was renamed duct tape, D-U-C-T. It was used in homes to put on ductwork around the house, and so they changed the color from army green to the gray that we have today. And very versatile, what would we do without duct tape? And the other thing that had original purpose that was used for something different was the Frisbee. 150 years ago, a baker by the name of William Russell Frisbee put his pies in these lightweight tins and stamped his name Frisbee on the bottom. Well, in 1940, some pie-loving Yale students created a game out of this by tossing these lightweight tins around the field and catching them. And the Wham-O company took notice, and today more than 200 million Frisbees have been sold. And then there's the microwave. It's a staple in everyone's home, but originally it was two British scientists that created the magnetron. Almost sounds like something that you'd see in a science fiction movie, doesn't it? And they created this magnetron to emit microwaves to detect German warplanes that were on their way to bomb Britain. Well, several years later, it was discovered that microwaves pop popcorn, and the rest is history. And you know, just as plans for products can end up differently, we can have a different purpose for them, so can plans that happen in our lives. We might have plan A in our lives, but quickly need to turn to plan B. And how many of us would say this morning, Pastor, my life has not worked out as I envisioned it? I'm sure a lot of you. Now, what many of you don't know is that I should still be living in France, not New York. Don't get me wrong, I love where I'm at, I love this church, I'm so blessed to be here, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, but this is plan B. Plan A was to be a missionary back in 1994, after teaching English in Ukraine, I decided that God wanted me to go and serve him outside of the U.S. I didn't know where exactly, but after doing college ministry for a number of years and getting my seminary degree, I decided with my wife, Virginia, that we would go to France as missionaries. And so we moved in 2003, and we were planning on being there for a really long time. But after 5 years, we faced some family challenges, and sadly, we couldn't return to France. So we had to leave France. And I remember this one moment. I was sitting with my family in the living room, and the disappointment and the heartache hit me about not going back to France. And I remember running up to my bedroom, and I was just sobbing for several minutes. My plan A came falling apart. It was falling apart, and I didn't have a plan B. How many of you have been there? And, you know, my guess is many of you have watched your plan A's fall apart. Maybe this past year even. Maybe for you it was a job that was lost or relationships that came to an end. Maybe it was a business that failed, or maybe good friends moved away, or maybe it was a health problem that emerged in your life. Maybe you got COVID, or one of your loved ones got COVID. And, you know, I was looking at some memes this past week, and I found some that visually and humorously represent what our plans were for 2020 and what our plans ended up being for 2020. So if you look at the first one, it's of Kevin from The Office. He had made his homemade chili, brings it in, didn't work out quite the way he planned, spilling it all over the carpet. What his plans were and what actually happened, my plans and 2020. The next one is of Cinderella. She had dreamed of a year where she would actually dance with her prince, but then ends up on a Zoom call talking to her prince from her bed. And then there's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's a character from one of my favorite TV comedies, Third Rock from the Sun. And here you see him, he's ready to take on 2020, singing with the birds as he comes out of his apartment in the morning, but he ends up waking up late, getting his breakfast from the supermarket in his bathrobe. Things just didn't turn out like they had planned. And, you know, often things don't go the way that we dreamed of. And that can be hard. It can be painful. You know, we thought at this point in our lives, things would be so much different. We had a plan A, and now we're working on plan B, C, or maybe it's plan S. But as we look at the characters of the Christmas story, we are reminded that even though our plans might be falling apart, God's plans are still coming together. Maybe my plans are falling apart, but we can be confident that God's plans are still coming together. And of course, you know, the Christmas story begins with this young girl named Mary. God sent an angel, Gabriel, to her, and she was actually pledged at the time that this happened to a young man named Joseph. Mary was probably somewhere between the age of 14 and 16, and we know this because in that culture, it was when a girl hit puberty that she was pledged or promised in marriage. Now, Mary, the mother of Jesus, knew something about life not turning out as she planned. If she were here, she would tell you that it didn't turn out even remotely like she had planned. Mary's plan A was that she would be a respectable young woman. She would have a stable home life, but she ended up having a home life that was anything but stable. Let's put ourselves in her shoes for a minute. Mary is like a bride. She's this bride-to-be, okay? And today, she might be searching on Pinterest for the perfect things that would make her wedding unforgettable. Maybe she's searching for names to name her children eventually. Something that she's probably been doing since she was 3 years old. But she's honing in on maybe a couple names that she really likes. Maybe it's Abraham if it was a boy, or maybe it would be Deborah if it was a girl. And she's thinking about all the things that go along with married life. And so Mary had lived her life as a good girl. And she would have had the respect of her family and her friends. But Mary ended up with plan B, to be an unwed mother, with her only explanation that the child had been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, imagine trying to explain that to your future husband. That's some crazy talk. And what happens when other people find out? This is a good girl whose reputation would be ruined. This was not plan A. And, you know, it also would have brought shame. And if the letter of the law was applied to her at that time, she could have been stoned to death for adultery. That's how dangerous it was for her in plan B. This was not plan A for Mary. Mary's plan A included what a lot of young women want. They want a man who loves them and makes them laugh. They want a man who proposes to them, hopefully in a romantic and thoughtful way. They want a man who promises to live with them forever. Joseph was her plan A. But when an angel comes to her and declares, God has a surprise for you, you will be pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. Mary knew that plan A was out the window. Plan A was over. There was no going back onto plan B. And at this moment, Mary didn't know that Joseph would stay with her. In fact, she probably expected that he wouldn't. In that time, it would be common for the man, if his future wife was found pregnant, to just break off the engagement. And if that were to happen, Mary would have ended up being a single mom. She'd live a life alone, having no secure means of income and struggling to make ends meet day by day. Now, we need to remember that although Mary was hearing from God, she wasn't reading her story. She didn't have the script. She didn't know how the story would end. She was actually living her story. And, you know, facing Plan B raised all sorts of questions in Mary's mind. Plan B didn't come with a private jet and a 5-star hotel. Plan B came with a donkey and a room at the inn. Mary could have fought against this, right? And been defeated. But instead, she chooses to say yes. In spite of everything she faced at that moment, Mary responded, I am your servant. May it happen to me as you have said. This is an amazing young woman. But how did this young, ordinary girl find the strength to move toward God, to say yes to God, and to plan B? Well, perhaps a clue can be found in the beginning of the story. If we back up a few verses, we read these familiar lines. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary says yes to God, "You who are highly favored." She put her hope in the Lord who was with her. And instead of focusing on all that was lost in plan A, she puts her trust in God and says yes to him and his plan B. Instead of asking the angel for all the details about plan B and how things are going to work out, she chose to trust God. She chose to trust him, and then something remarkable happened. Mary's plan A was an ordinary life, but the plan B gave her an extraordinary purpose, a purpose that Mary never could have imagined in plan B. Was it easy? No, but her life became more meaningful than she could have ever imagined. Her plans may be falling apart, but God's plans were still coming together. So let's think about this in our own lives. What do you and I do when life just doesn't work out like we planned? When the twists and turns of life come our way? Well, for some of us, we're not on plan A because of bad decisions that we made, and we feel like a failure. We feel like we screwed up, and we feel like we didn't do a good enough job to make plan A work. We can let this define us. For others of us, someone else screwed up our plan A. We didn't choose to grow up in a household that was afflicted by abuse and divorce. We didn't choose to have our marriage fall apart. We worked hard at our marriage. We did our best at our job. We didn't want it to end this way, and deep down, we wonder if we're getting what we deserve. We can easily let plan B defeat us. It's also easy to look around and feel like lots of people are living out their plan A's, right? But, you know, something I've realized over the years as I talk to people is that many people have had their plan A's escape them long ago. And, you know, when plan A falls apart, it can define us. It can defeat us, but it can also do something else. It can develop us. You know, you can let it define you, you can let it defeat you, but it can also do something else. You can let it develop you. And, you know, remember how my plan A didn't work out? We had to leave France. Well, we began to search for what the Lord had for us next. And, you know, during those few months, we actually trusted God in greater ways than we had ever trusted him before. We had a time with our family that was personal, that was quality time. And we lived near our extended family and friends that could help us after just having a newborn baby, Camille. Now, it didn't seem like it at the time, but as I look back, I can say that through Plan A, even though Plan A was falling apart, we had a few extra months in the States, and it developed in us the character that God wanted to produce. We experienced blessings that we couldn't have experienced in Plan A. Now, here's something very important I want us to take a hold of today. And as you lean into your Plan B or C or D, understand that these same words that the angel spoke to Mary apply to you. And these are the words: you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And when Plan A falls apart, you might think that God has abandoned you. You might think that God has turned his back on you. You might think that God is against you. But listen, God has not abandoned you. He has shown his favor. He is pursuing you. God has not turned his back on you. He is pursuing you. He is not against you. He is for you. And you know, Jesus has promised, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I believe that in Plan B, God wants you to remember that your plans may be falling apart, but his plans are still coming together. And you know, we need to hold on to the truth that we are highly favored, just like Mary, so that we can face the challenges that come to us. We need to know that God is with us so we can be empowered to move forward and trust him with our future. And just like Mary, who God used to change the world, we find God in Plan B can give birth to something extraordinary. Here's what it sounded like for Mary to say yes to Plan B. She said in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. That's the moment she chose not to let Plan B define her or defeat her, but to develop her. That she would be the woman who gives birth to the Savior of the world. Here's my question for you today. What if in Plan B, God wants to reveal his extraordinary plans through you? It's so easy to stay stuck in a rut of what we've lost in Plan A, isn't it? And that can be exhausting. But we don't have to stay there. Like Mary, we can choose to trust. We can choose to say yes to God and yes to his Plan B. You know, Pastor Pete Wilson writes, your dreams may not be happening and things aren't turning out the way you expected, but that doesn't mean your life is spinning out of control. It just means you're not in control. It's in those moments you can learn to trust the only one who has ever had control in the first place. You know, there's a classic hymn called Blessed Assurance that was written in the late 1800s by a woman named Frances Crosby. And one day, Frances visited a friend who played a tune for her, and she said, Frances, this is a tune. I have no lyrics. Put words to it. And so she came up with the title, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And then the next few minutes, she wrote all of the words to the song. And today, it is one of the most famous hymns that we have, and it actually on YouTube has more plays than all of Taylor Swift's songs combined. What you might not know about Frances Crosby is that her father died when she was one, and she was raised by a single mother. When she was 6 weeks old, she had an inflammation of the eyes, and her doctor gave a remedy that actually had irreversible effects on her eyes, and she ended up blind in both eyes. And at 15, she enrolled in the New York School for the Blind. At 22, she had learned almost every major musical instrument and had a contract to write songs for a production company. Over the course of Frances's life, she wrote over 8,000 hymns. And one of the things that the publishing companies asked her to do is to choose some pseudonyms so that people wouldn't think that all of the songs that they published were her songs. Frances Crosby, she married without ever seeing her husband. She grew up without ever seeing her mom, without ever knowing her dad. But when asked about what her blindness meant, she said, "If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it. I may not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things about me." Frances Crosby said yes to God in Plan B. Remember Mary? Mary's Plan A was crumbling around her, but she said yes to Plan B, and God birthed in her the one who offers you and me the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. No matter what life brings our way, he will be with us. He offers me forgiveness for my past, a purpose for my present, and hope for my future. She had plans in her life that were nothing like what she was about to experience, but she said, "Yes, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said." God birthed in her a baby who grew up to become the man who would rather die than not have you live with him. And in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we can find meaning in our Plan B. Your plans may be falling apart, but God's plans are still coming together. What's the Plan A that fell apart for you? How is God using it in your life? How is God going to use your story? Well, for some of you, your Plan A was to have a successful career, but it didn't work out anywhere near what you thought it would. I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. Your Plan A was to have a family, to be married and have one or two kids, but you ended up not being married, actually being divorced, not having kids. I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. Maybe your Plan A was financial security, and you didn't want to have to worry about the future, but your business went bankrupt, and now you're struggling to make ends meet. I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. Or maybe your Plan A was to have a good physical health, and you worked hard to make sure that would happen, but now you're facing a terminal disease and you don't even know if you're going to survive. I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. Let's join Mary today in this prayer. Join me in prayer. God, we come to you and we are just so thankful for the hope that you give us in Plan B. We thank you that you're with us. We thank you that you value us. We thank you that because we are with you, we don't have to let the disappointment of having to go with Plan B define us or defeat us. We can let it develop us. And God, as our Plan A's don't work out, and we have to turn to Plan B or C or D, help us to put our trust in you. For you're the one that's trustworthy. Thank you for the example of Mary. Thank you for her faith. And Lord, help us in our weakness. Help us in our lack of faith to be like Mary and say to you, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.